It's Abu here. You're probably wondering, what's different around here? And the answer is everything. I took the last year off, not just from podcasting, but from everything. I needed a reset. Last year was one of the hardest years of my life. And as you know, life doesn't just throw one thing at a time at you. It hits you with everything all at once. I hit a mental roadblock, my business hit a wall, and then I faced an unimaginable loss of someone I deeply loved. I had a reset. I went deep, asking myself, what's wrong with me? What did I do to deserve this? I struggled with grief, with loss, with relationships, with business, and family. I was operating from a place of seeking permission. Permission to let go, permission to step back, permission to prioritize myself. And then it hit me. You don't need anyone's approval to take the next step. You don't need permission to be a CEO. But you do need the tools, the mindset, and the support to lead in a way that doesn't cost you your peace. It took me over a decade to truly figure this out. And now I'm ready to keep going, sharing what's worked, what hasn't, and everything I'm still learning along the way. So if you're ready, and I know I am, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with someone who needs to hear it. Because this isn't just my journey, it's ours. Lastly, I just want to thank everyone that reached out to me over the last year just to check on me, make sure I was doing good. I truly appreciate the support, and I look forward to continue building more deep connections with you all.
This is the Powered AF Podcast, a show about visionaries, high performers, and entrepreneurs, and their stories on how they push past fear, overcome imposter syndrome, and navigate through the mental roadblocks in order to achieve the highest level of success. And I'm your host, Abu Fofana.
I just wanted to jump on here. One of my team members actually asked me today. She said, "Hey, Abu." She heard me talking about every day I try to set 1 hour out of that day to just think. And in this hour, I don't do any work, but just think. I may write something down on a whiteboard or on a notepad, but I just think. I just set an hour each day to think. And she had reached out to me and asked me, when do you do that? Do you do that in the morning, in the afternoon, at night? And I told her I do that in the morning. In the mornings, because I wake up early. And so when I wake up, no one's really up when I'm up, right? Like 4 or 5 a.m., so it's just quiet. I'm not really checking social media because no one's really updating social media. And so it's a lot easier for me to first, when I wake up in the morning, to allocate that hour where I'm just silent, I'm just sitting there, I'm just thinking. Now, you can do this in the middle of the day. You can do this at night, but it takes a lot of discipline and practice because at night is when everything is popping. Right now, NBA trade deadlines, right? At night is when your favorite TV show is coming on, and then you're on Twitter and you're talking about it, you're hashtagging, you know, you're attending other people's lives, you might be getting ready for bed because you just had a long day. So at night, it's really hard to allocate time to really just think. And the reason why I spend an hour a day to just think, it's really boost my productivity, but it's really just allowed me to define my direction. I think sometimes we have direction, we start something, we may lose sight of focus, and then all of a sudden we're doing things that we don't want to do, we're on another path that we don't want to be. And I think a lot of that has to contribute to what's the time that we're taking every day to set direction. And so I allocate an hour a day to set direction, and for you, you may not have an hour. And let me tell you something, I'm probably more busier than you. And so I fight to have this hour. So for you, it may be 30 minutes, it may be 15 minutes, whatever that looks like for you. But I need at least an hour to really just think about all the things that I have going on and how I'm going to allocate, where I'm going to allocate energy, what I'm going to be focused on during the season, what I'm going to be outsourcing, what I'm going to be, you know, hiring for, you know, what I'm going to be doing to enjoy myself and all these little details and nuances. And so that's what I meant by that. And so when I allocate an hour a day, it's to do those activities. It's something I have to fight for each day for myself so I could spend that there as well. So again, I'm just going to do a late night Q&A. Feel free to let me know where you're tuning in from. Let me know your questions you have for me. And for those of you that don't know, I charge like $10,000 an hour, you know, for consultation. And so this is completely free. Ask me anything that, you know, you questions that you have, and I'll do my best. Answer them if I know the answer. If I don't, then I'm going to tell you, hey, I don't actually know about this. Two, the second thing that I want to talk about is the feeling of, you know, of operating. And I know a lot of you follow me because you are a business owner, but there's a different level of feeling when you're the CEO and you're acting as a CEO. And what I mean by that is I think the objective of a CEO in every business is to clarify the mission, clarify the vision, and then put people in place to execute the mission and vision. And at times I struggled with this because I would take a step into the business and I'd want to help out and I want to do this and I want to do that. But I realized when I did those things, I actually took myself from doing the most important thing, which was to put people in place to execute the vision and mission. If I have to continuously execute the vision and mission, then it's going to be a really hard business to step away from and it not operate, you know, without me being there. And so I sort of started changing my mindset. Some of my friends are a lot better than this than I am. And I said, you know, the role and the purpose that I've been given is to create and start ideas, create the mission for it, create the vision for it, get out the way and hire the right people to run and operate it. You know, that's where I'm going to have the most success. If I have to step into my business and run the day to day, I'm not going to have success that way. And so a prime example of that for those that are students of mine, today we had a coaching call. And on the coaching call, I wasn't there on the call. However, a coach that I hired, another team member, operated the call. So while she was doing the call, I was able to have dinner and think about the next hire, the next few hires that I'm going to be making. And so this is what I mean when I say as a CEO, your job is to set the mission, vision, you know, and that encompasses the business structure, how you're going to generate revenue, validation of your idea, validation of revenue stream, and then hire people and get out the way so they could operate it, that business for you. And so that's been where my mind's been at as of late, is how do I get out the way? How do I get the right people? How do I let them operate this and giving them the trust that they could operate it on their own without me having to be there? And so, yeah, these are just things I'm thinking about, because at times when you are the operator, you start having resentment towards your business, right? Because you're still doing everything. You start having resentment towards your business, towards the people, towards the activity, towards your clients, towards everything, because you're actually not growing. You're not operating as a CEO, right? You're still operating as the day-to-day individual. And so again, these are just things that I am realizing, even though I read it, I learned it, I seen it, but sometimes it hits a little bit differently at different points of your journey. So again, if you're just tuning in, welcome. My name's Abu. I'm sure you've seen my ads around the internet. If you haven't, I'm sure you will now. If you have, what's up? This is a Q&A. Feel free to ask me any questions that you may have. I'm going to answer a few questions before I get back into my work as well. So yeah, so that's why I wanted to jump on here. So let's see what questions you have for me. Someone asked me, do you miss coaching as much? The political correct answer or the truth? No. So coaching, I mean, I enjoy aspects of coaching, but coach every single week or every single day, or, you know, that's hard. That's hard to do. So I don't miss that aspect of like coaching every single day or every single week. That's hard, but I enjoy coming in once a month, you know, coming in and saying my two cents or supporting coaches. But I add more value when I'm not coaching, because I'm able to make the business a lot better, bring in people that could give you more support. You know, I think that's where my role lies, but great question with that. See what other questions we have. Will this year really be your last year selling PYL and coaching? You know, it's on my whiteboard, you know, it's on my whiteboard for this year to, there are a lot of other things I want to pursue, right? There's a lot of things I want to pursue. There are a lot of opportunities that are knocking at my door there's a lot of businesses trying to hire me and recruit me and all these different things. And there is an interest of wanting to try a different challenge, right? What's the thing that's going to challenge me? So I was talking to my mentor the other day, and he was like, I think you're just not being challenged. That's why you're kind of bored, and you know, it's redundancy. You've created systems and processes where now it's so redundant that you're kind of bored of doing it. And the challenge is what excites you. You know, the challenge is what you will sign up for. And there's truth in that, right? I really do enjoy a challenge where I'm figuring something out from scratch or from the beginning, et cetera. So I think about this a lot. I haven't said definite yes. I haven't said definite no, but it is something that is on my mind. I followed you for a bit, but want to know how you got started, how I got started, like in general, or I don't want a long-winded answer, but let me give you a half a short version. So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Abu. I teach entrepreneurs, business owners how to run paid advertisement to grow their product or service-based business. I started a really long, long time ago, back in 2008, experimenting with Facebook, Instagram ads, was experimenting with social media, online, and just trying to make sense of it all. Slowly but surely, I would make sense of it by helping other business owners, local businesses, restaurants, really drive traffic to their restaurant to sell out of menu items, to sell out during specific days and times. I got good at that skill over time, and one day I found myself working on Wall Street, and I said, I kind of hate this job. What do I want to do? And I realized people were willing to pay me for the skill set that I had developed earlier, and so I kind of transitioned from there and got to the other side of now being, you know, the industry expert when it comes to paid advertisement and et cetera. That's the short version. What would your advice be on marketing yourself in the construction industry? I guess it really depends on, you know, what do you want to be known as a construction guy? You know, like, what do you mean? Like, what are you exactly marketing? You know, do you want to just create reels and content where people are like, oh, Dave is a construction guy. Just like they're like, oh, Abu's the ads guy. You know, go to Abu if you want to learn ads. You know, go to David if you want to learn about the construction industry. So I guess it's like, what are you actually trying to market when you say you're marketing yourself in the construction space? But it would be content, you know, who's your clients that you're talking to in the industry? Are you trying to teach people how to get in the industry? Like, what exactly? So I think I would really just like define the scope of what are you trying to say? Who are you trying to say it to? And how are you trying to say it to them? At what point did you decide in your business that it was time to step away from it day to day? Man, too little, too late. I think I decided too late. I wish I would have did it earlier, to be honest with you. But I just kept holding on because your business is like your baby. So you hold on to it dearly, right? And sometimes we hold on to it way too long. So for me, if I had to do it again, I probably would have stepped away a lot quicker. But again, this is hindsight. Now, if I build a new business, I know I'm going to be stepping away from the day-to-day a lot earlier than waiting a few years to do that. This is good. This is a good conversation. Filter through many clients I actually want to work with. Yeah, so I think you may have to create a better qualifier, whether it's application-based, whether it's quiz-based. You'll have to create a better qualifier in order, because you're running into the same issues that everyone runs into, right? How do I stop wasting my time talking to the wrong people? That's a common issue, and I think you have to create a better process of qualifying individuals that are ready to take that next step with you. So that may be a video series where you're walking through, do you check these boxes, right? Being very direct in your marketing so you could actually get the right amount of people or the right people in general. I got your question. How did you set your hourly rate? When did you reach the point when it was standard for you to charge, for example, $10,000 an hour? This is a really great question. So let's talk about it. When I first started out, I didn't start out charging someone $10,000 an hour. I started out by everything being free. You know, I started out by everything being free. And over time, and the question was around, how do you know what to price yourself? You know, how do you know what price to set? I recorded two really, really good podcast episodes around this, Powered AF, check it out, around pricing. But here, let me tell you how I got to $10,000. It was over a lot of years. So, you know, again, I've been doing ads since 2008. You do the math. And then, you know, what we at 12, 13 years, right, of running Facebook, Instagram ads, et cetera, paid media, marketing, digital marketing. So, but even that, when I was 5, 6 years in, I wasn't charging that. I was like, oh, I'm doing things free because I needed to build case studies. I needed to build a lot of case studies where I did something in the industries that I wanted to serve, in the beauty and fitness and yoga, meditation and this and that and retail and brick and mortar and real estate. And so I had to build a lot of case studies. So in the beginning, I was working crazy hours trying to deliver deliverables because I understood the long game. So business is a long game. So this is a mentality I adapted early on. I said, I'm not doing anything for short-term gain. If you're coming in with the idea of short-term gain, you're not going to succeed. Well, you're not going to succeed how you may wish you or hope to succeed. So I said, everything is long-term. So I first started out doing a lot of free case studies. I documented all of these case studies. I even had published some of them on my website. And now when I was getting ready to charge someone $100, I think in the beginning it was like $75 an hour to talk to me, consultation. And I would literally point people to the case study. So after they read the case study, at the bottom of the case study was schedule a call. Now they read a really in-depth analysis of my strategy, of my process, of the transformation that I gave the clientele. So they had no question when it came to booking the call. That $75 was nothing. It was like, wow, I just learned so much right now. I'm booking this call, $75 an hour. It went to $125, $135, $150, $200, $225, $250. $500. And then I jumped from $500 to $1,500. And the reason why I skipped $1,000 on the way is because I would always be booked out. Every week I would be, you know, every day I'd be doing 5, 8, 10 calls. Now each call is an hour. So if I'm doing 10 calls in a day, that's 10 hours. If I'm doing it 7 days a week, 70 hours, I'm like, okay, this is not sustainable. So if people really want to work with me, I'm going to increase my price. And so I increased it to $1,500 an hour. And guess what happened? People still kept booking. And I said, you know what? I'm going to set it to $2,000 an hour. People kept booking. Okay, what about $3,000? $4,000? $5,000? $7,500? $9,000? $10,000? And so people would still book. And I said, you know what? I'm setting it at $10,000 because I need my time back. And I'm okay, instead of doing, you know, 70 calls or 10 calls a day, right, 7 days a week, instead of doing 70 calls a week and making, at that time, remember I was doing, you know, $75, let's just round up to $100, doing 70 hours, what's that? That's, what's 100? I'm cheating over here. That's $7,000 I was making in a week. Which is good money, but this is, I'm not doing anything else. I'm dying of thirst and et cetera. And I said, you know what? What if I just charge 10,000? So instead of talking to 70 people, now I'm only talking to one and I'm making more in an hour. And so my value kept increasing based on the demand of the people that wanted to get on the phone with me, and it became a bidding. Okay, well, if Boo's only opening his slots for 5 calls this month, that's 50,000 for me, but like, you better book the slot because this is where I'm starting at. And so that's how I got there, right? I got my rate to 10,000 an hour because I became in demand. And when you're in demand, you can set your rate. When you don't need to do it, you can set your rate at whatever you want, right? So like, because I'm making money in other avenues, I don't really need to get on the call with nobody, you know? But if you really want to get on a call, here's where it starts at. And so that's what I did. And later on, I would hire other coaches And I said, hey, you could get on the phone. It's at a lower rate, but it's with other coaches. So now the affordability came back. But again, it wasn't taking my time. It was taking these other coaches that I trained's time. And so they could do the lower rate, right? We can make it more affordable to the masses. But when it's just me and the demand's high, I have to increase my price in order to keep my sanity. Does that make sense? Let me know if that makes sense. Are the consultation calls you advising them on how they could market better? Yeah, so Fit with Sierra, really great question. So what I would do was I had a form, and the form, before someone got on the phone with me, I knew exactly why they were getting on this call. So I had a form that they would fill out. I had very specific questions that I needed them to answer before they got on this call. What topic they wanted to talk about. I realized that I can't talk 20 topics in one call. So you're going to have to pick the top urgent topic that you want to talk about, because every topic, you know, you could get really in depth with. So I said, okay, you have to choose a topic that you want to talk about. We can't talk about the history and everything of ads in 1 hour. It's impossible. It'll be ineffective. So let's pick one topic that we could get really deep around. And so that's what I did. So before I got on the call, I had all my information. I had an idea of what they wanted to talk about. And so I knew exactly how to drive and the conversation while allowing them to lead in certain areas and telling me where they need help and support. But yeah, it was me giving my input and recommendation. And they didn't have to listen to my recommendation, but you know, I always gave it because that was my deliverable. Okay, I'm going to give you a summary of what we talked about. I'm going to tell you what I think about what you're doing. And here may be my recommendations, things to implement. I'm not implementing them, but here are things that you should implement. So that's what I did. I'm getting a health business and wellness business off the ground. I'd like to start marketing. What are some of the best ways to reach potential paying customers? I would say, you know, a low cost effective way is, I think you may already be doing it, but being on social media, talking to your clientele, you know, via social media, creating real content around it, going live. I think that's some of the best way to engage with your customers right off the bat. That's free. The only thing it's going to cost you is time and effort. But I think that's like a free way to do that. The second thing is just join communities, Facebook group communities, where you can engage with people who are already on that journey, you know? And so you may have to be really active in that group for people to notice you in the beginning, but you don't want to come in that group trying to sell someone something because you haven't really ingratiated yourself with the group. And, you know, the admins may be like, oh, here's someone who's an opportunist trying to come to our community. So I guess you start with your free resources and then look at, okay, what are the pieces of content I'm creating? And when you're ready to really amplify it, that's when I would recommend, you know, starting to run ads and utilizing ads to amplify your message and your business. I keep hearing that the inflation is a period of build generation. Well, what's your thoughts on this? I think there's opportunity in every market, whether the market's going down or whether the market's going up. And, you know, I think there's opportunity in every market to build wealth. I think the market doesn't even have to be going down, or inflation doesn't even have to be going up in order to build wealth, or down in order to build wealth. I just think it's the opportunity always exists, right? For some people, it always exists. For others, for them to take action, they need to know it's like something going on. And so I think the opportunity just always exists. How do you stay focused and consistent? That's a really great question. It's hard to stay consistent and focused all the time, 24/7. I think I find periods of time where I dedicate and I'm willing to sacrifice everything else in order to stay focused and consistent. You see, I think most people, the challenge of staying consistent and focused is direct proportion to the sacrifice, right? Like consistent and staying focused is direct proportion to sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice watching that Netflix and binging the entire series to continue working through the night? Right, working through the night on that idea. So I think you have to ask yourself those questions. What's the direct proportion of focus and consistent to my level of sacrifice? Where can we purchase your books? So if you are in my Power Your Launch Marketing Accelerator, I have two books But it's only effective when you're a student because they're filling the blanks. They help you complete the course. But you could look at the course at poweryourlaunch.com or click the link in my bio if you want to enroll. And then I have a hyperlink there to the ebooks that are direct correlation to the course content that you're taking. So you created your templates and scaled out process. Which system worked for you and compared to what? I think in the beginning, I'm just testing out what's working and what's not working. So in the beginning, I tried like application based. I try to just find like what would work for my lifestyle, being a digital nomad, my clients, and what's the process to close the sale. You know, I had to really define those things first. So in the beginning, you're an inventor, right? You're just tinkering. You're just tinkering over and over until you find something that really, really works, you know? Really great questions. I appreciate y'all asking me that. That's all I got for y'all, honestly. I told myself I'd do this for a little bit. So thank y'all for the additional questions. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to do a follow-up to answer more questions that you all have for me.
Thank you for joining us at the Powered AF podcast. Make sure to visit our website and make sure to follow our podcast anywhere you listen to the podcast to make sure you never miss a show. And please, 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 if you enjoyed this episode and this show, please make sure to leave us a review. It really, really does help. And last thing, if you're interested in this freebie that I just released, I want you to check this out. Recently, I put together a free online training on how to 10x your sales online. This is for business owners who are struggling with making consistent sales online. Whether you run a product or service-based business, this is the perfect training for you. The free training is still up and you can access it by going to poweryourlaunch.com/pod. Again, poweryourlaunch.com/pod. That's P-O-D. All right. Thanks again for listening in. I'll see you during our next show.